Carlos and Dave, Anime Rave, on the bleeding edge of the latest shows, bringing you yet another Fall 2014 impression. This is going to have spoilers, and this is going to feature offensive language. And we are doing a synopsis of the entire series that was Amagi Brilliant Park. We did not do a mid-season look because we just plumb fucking forgot.
So, what'd you think?
Oh, you want me to go first?
Fire away.
Okay. I really liked Amagi Brilliant Park. I did not expect anything from it at the beginning. It started strong, and with a couple of missteps, stayed very strong. This is a good series, man. This is one of the best in a long time. I don't like a lot of anime, believe it or not. So, I mean, I don't give this praise lightly. Amagi Brilliant Park reminded me of Futurama. I say it all the time. It was characters with real depth put in comedic situations, and we got to laugh with them so that when the hidden pain beneath them is revealed, we can cry with them too. It's just a really well-made show, a really interesting premise that had no business being as good as it was, and a great lead character, a great lead support, great other supports. My only issues were a couple of shitty episodes, just 2 of 13. Not bad.
Which I don't agree with you on one of them, but.
And one cornerstone plot point that was played purely to tease me and never got resolved. And another big plot point that I'm glad ended the way it did, but kind of didn't get the coverage I thought it needed. What did you, I'll touch on those in momentarily. I don't know what you
Fair
thought.
Enough.
Your overall feelings. Of this strange adventure that was Amagi Brilliant Park.
I really enjoyed Amagi Brilliant Park. The characters were so well done, and it wouldn't have taken much to have totally screwed the pooch on this one.
Not much. They teetered a couple times, and they never fell in.
Don't know if it really teetered. I mean, from episode to episode, it was just they were dealing with the varied problems, and you could actually see in a weird sort of theme park way of these issues could actually happen.
Sure.
If they weren't, you know, magical people inside everything else, but you could still see a lot of the issues happening to a real theme park, and the way they were challenging them in a lot of ways would work.
If a real theme park was actually staffed by fantasy creatures from another land who needed people's fun to live, I could see this too. I see what you're saying, though. Like, even though both Kanye and Sento were total fucking anime characters, they were also anime characters with believability. They...
Heart and soul.
What I loved about the two was that they were both fucking damaged goods. They're both damaged people. They're both antisocial for very different reasons. They are both burdened and troubled people for very different reasons.
Yep.
And they both had great chemistry with each other. And let's get negative for a minute. It was chemistry with each other that was teased and teased and teased, and then nothing came of it. Not even in the shitty OVA 13th episode.
Oh, it was shitty.
They could have, even in that episode, if it was about them, those two, and them kind of finally admitting their feelings to each other, which should have happened way earlier. Even if it happened there, I would have said too late, but better late than never.
I mean, that was part of the problem. It was, and that was even to me a small problem. I don't like the tease that doesn't end up playing out.
No. How much better could the show have been, even though it was pretty good, if this revelation to the two of them happened midway through and it was a strain on their relationship? That would have been a lot better than the throwaway fucking pirate episode. That would have been a lot better. That might have even been better than fucking having those four elemental spirits go through the weird security system that made zero sense. Even though that was a fun episode in general, if they had to cut one to make room for more Kanye Sento stuff, that would have been the one, that and the pirate one and the OVA. Like, I mean, those are your three cuts. Like, sorry, I interrupted though. Go ahead.
I don't agree with you on the pirate one, because I found the pirate one stuff fun.
It made no sense, even within the context of that universe.
Well, it made complete sense. Anyway, made even more frustrating by the fact, I mean, we had almost a full episode of her being mentally, when they slipped her the pill, Mickey, whatever it was, and she spent almost the whole episode trying to stop from saying she loved him.
It was like the sleeve feel thing.
Yeah.
I don't think at that point she was going to admit love. I think she was going to admit interest for sure, because...
No.
She definitely felt something for him, but that is too early for love, which is why they could have, like, they could have gone on a date. They could have tried something in the middle. I could have easily imagined a scenario where Kanye says something to the effect of, you know, I don't know if this is going to work, but I think there's something here. Do you remember that awesome Justice League Unlimited, not Unlimited, Justice League episode, season 2, where the Joker was fucking going to kill everyone in the world, basically, where the beginning of that two-part is fucking Jon Stewart and Hawkgirl arguing, and Jon Stewart is like, we need to talk about us. And Hawkgirl's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Jon Stewart just says, yes, you do. And they have a nearly an intimate moment before the Joker ruins it. And, of course, the end of the two-parter, it pays off. I wanted that to happen here. And then the rest of the drama of the show, especially when it relates to Latifah, could have reflected and contrasted against that so well. And it never happened. It never even happened in the 13th episode.
Let's just say the 13th episode was definitely a throwaway. They weren't even trying.
Extra OVA bonus episodes of things have never been good except for Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill is how you do it right. It not only acted as an epilogue to things, it was an awesome, action-filled, character-filled, humor-filled episode in its own right. It was an awesome way to end it.
It was episode 25.
Mm-hmm.
Even the side characters were given their time in the spotlight for a bunch of stuff, sometimes stupidly, sometimes just outright awesome.
Yeah. Why the fuck does Fawful have this... Fawful has no business having this character development. He was one of the best characters I've seen in a long time in anime. I need to stop saying in a long time. Fawful was one of the best characters in the show, period. He's the Fumofu doll, for Christ's sake. The Four Elemental Girls started as nothing. And after one episode, they suddenly had personalities, which is great. Which is why I wouldn't want that episode cut as much as I'd just like another episode added. But the show definitely kept us in suspense until the end, just barely making the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and there was no thoughts of cheating or anything else. It was...
They totally cheated. They're like, yeah, come deliver us pizza. Just walk through the gate. Nobody will ask you questions. They should have just ran out and back in repeatedly to make up those numbers.
Well, and that's what I mean, is there was no outright cheating as in doing that.
I kind of want to talk a bit about Latifah, because she was the other big part of the show. The show, the ultimate conflict and resolution is all about Latifah and about Kanye's promise he made when he was a kid that he thought he forgot about, which I thought the memory bullet was going to be about. Never ended up happening that way. No, unfortunately, poor little Latifah was the one losing her memories every fucking year. And this is the second anime in recent memory and the fall 2014 where memory loss is, like, worse than death. Her and Togo.
Yeah.
And it is pretty shitty, but, I mean, that was a big thread, and I felt... I really liked that Kanye honestly started to falter a bit and thought he was going to fail again at something he promised he would do. He failed before, and he promised himself he wouldn't fail again, and he thought he was done. And it was not directly what he did, but as a side effect of his helping the park that ultimately ended up healing her and breaking the curse so she could keep her memories, and she could remember all the fondness and the love and whatnot, right?
I don't think it was actually a breaking of the curse, though. I think it was this prevents the curse from affecting her for that year.
Now, I don't think they ever specifically said what it was. I thought they said something about the curse having been broken by the gathered animus. But I mean, ultimately, though, if they can keep... if even if what you say is correct, they can just keep the park going. And And maybe that's a second season hook they could do. I mean,
well, it
ultimately, the villain, the wizard, got away. So, I mean,
it is based on a light novel, which is still going. So, there's very possible that we could have a second season.
But there's elements of the light novel that got shifted around for the show, which they should. Like, the elemental girls are only characters much later, and they just shove them in right now, because why the fuck not, right? But, I mean, back to Latifah. Yeah, her story was kind of pivotal at the end. So it's a little funny that she got so little time in the show. Like, she got a lot at the beginning, and then there were occasional scenes here and there, and then, like, nothing else. And then she got a bunch of development at the end, and the whole fucking premise, the whole fight was about her. The whole purpose for the, like, for making sure the park succeeds becomes clear, and suddenly, it felt like the anime version of Fruits Basket, where we all know from the manga that Kyo is really the lead support here, and is really the person Toru ends up with, and really the person she wants to save, and really the guy who, along with Toru, is like the centerpiece of this fucking story. But because the anime thought they were going to have more shows, and they focused a lot of it on Yuki, and Kyo only at the very end, because they thought they were going to have more time. So it almost made it seem like Yuki was Toru's like number one here. But I mean, it felt like that, in that Kyo was around, and his story was touched upon a bit, and then at the end, it's suddenly all about him. And it kind of felt like that, like Latifah's around, occasionally we touch her on her story, and then bam, the whole ending of the show is about her. So, I mean, it was cool. I like how they did it. But combined with the fact that this other cornerstone element, which was Kanye and Isuzu's potential relationship or not, there too, these are two big dangling matzo balls that kind of got left behind in what is otherwise a great show.
I can agree with that, even though I didn't feel that she was completely written out. Her little scenes they did give her still kept her in the audience's mind, and they kept on dropping little hints. Like, she would say, make sure Kanye doesn't know about this, without giving us any context about things. Underlying that there's still something else going on here behind the scenes that they don't want, or she doesn't want him to know.
There's a logic bomb here, though, because I felt that was a mistake to just have so little of her and then suddenly focus on her. Especially when you consider this little nugget. Why the fuck didn't she tell him in the first place? So he could have been devoting some of his quite expansive mental capacity towards finding a solution to that, instead of right at the end when he's all stressed out about it. He might have pushed that much harder so that they didn't almost not make it.
Or it might have broke him right off the bat. Because think about it. You've now brought him in, you've asked him to save your park.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. He's now getting emotionally invested in it. He's doing a whole bunch of changes. You don't even know if it's possible, and you think it isn't. But he's making strides. Do you give him Mission Impossible right off the bat? Or do you let him actually see what he can do in the first little bit, and then see what he can do? Because she never wanted him to know, even if he failed, because she didn't want that to harm him.
Damn it! Why must you use reason? I want to be mad!
Because I still think that they're holding back, and they didn't expressively say it, but she's also the reason why he's afraid of heights.
Did she throw him off the castle?
No, but if you remember a scene back in episode 1 or 2, he remembered falling through the clouds.
Yeah, but that was related to his whatever pain that happened between him and his mom and his old career. Because his mom was apparently abusive towards him, and he used to be a child star that just lost all passion for everything when this happened.
It wasn't just that. It was his fear of heights and being up on stage that caused some of this stuff. I've actually gone back and watched a couple of those, and it pretty much expressively says that, you know, all of a sudden he was afraid of heights. And then they had that whole little flashback. So I think something magical happened to him back then.
I'm pretty sure she didn't try to kill him.
I don't think she tried to, but I think something happened.
Okay, fair enough. There's definitely sequel stuff here, though. Like, I mean, for all my bitching and moaning that Kanye and Isuzu didn't try something which would have been so refreshing, I shouldn't have been surprised knowing all the Full Metal but Panic background here and them still teasing Sosuke and Kaname, even though, come on.
Yeah.
That can be addressed in a sequel series. Any remnants of Latifah's curse can be addressed. And most importantly, the reason that the respective reasons Kanye and Isuzu are so fucking broken. These are all great fodder. And of course, the evil wizard is still alive and disguised in the human world. So, I mean, he is going to be pivotal in this potential sequel that I hope happens.
I'd like to think so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do like that in the end, Kanye quit and then realized, why the fuck am I quitting? And then goes back.
Thanks to a simple 1 minute conversation with his sister.
Yes, Isu Kubo. Thanks to Ice Cube. He's like, yo, man, you don't fucking quit that park. And then Kanye's like, you're right, I'm a literary genius. And he goes back. I'm the worst. He goes back. We have the throwaway 13th episode that had some funny moments, but was just throwaway. So there, yeah, there's stuff for a sequel there. You could set it almost immediately after. You could set it years later. Perhaps when he leaves school, he decides to just do the park thing full time and just maybe he's smart with his money. One thing I liked about Kanye, and I guess he's a little too egotistical in the light novel from what I've seen, is that he balanced out his ego and his humility in the show. He never got to be a self-insert where he was so Gary Stu that no problem eluded him. He managed to solve a lot of problems, and he managed to fuck up and be human. And sometimes, most of the time, yeah, they brought him on for a reason, and he really is the reason that they're not all dead. But at the same time, he fucked up too, because he's only human, and he needed help. And he could admit this, and he could feel humility. The whole thing where they mock him for not having friends is almost mean-spirited, because it's not that he can't do it. It's not that he lacks the ability. It's just that he doesn't want them. Ultimately, this is the thing. It's not that he's not being arrogant to lose contact with people. He doesn't want contact. There is something seriously wrong with him. And this is another theme this shares with Full Metal Panic. Get past all the laughter behind Sosuke's antics, and there is something really wrong with him. Seriously fucked up with him.
Yeah, I think that one's been kind of defined, though.
Yeah, well, he was a child soldier in the middle fucking East, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
But, I mean, even then, in the second season of Full Metal Panic, which is... the actual second season.
Okay, just wanted to make
sure. Full Metal Panic Second Raid.
Yeah.
Which we could talk about for hours on what went right and wrong with that one. When I was watching it with Kiki, there's that scene where Kaname took Sosuke to get a fucking haircut, and they put that hot towel on his face, and he suddenly panics and, like, attacks the hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And it was played for comedy, but then Kiki was like, oh, she was all sad. She was like, oh my god. And the show knew this. It actually put him in a regular social situation that should not have made him feel awkward, and he blew up at it. If there's a sequel, I'm going to be excited, because I want to see moments like that where there's some shit that Kanye just can't handle. Someone's going to bring up his mom, or some remnant of his past is going to come up, and he's just going to flip his fucking shit, man. Like, there's good stuff that could happen here. But I'm also afraid, because knowing Full Metal Panic, if there is a second season of this, it's going to go through its entirety without one single iota of Kanye or Sento talking to each other about their feelings for each other. And I can't handle that. I'm serious. If they don't, I'm making this promise right now. There's a second season of that. We are going to do an anime rave of it. Every episode it doesn't happen, I'm going to be sounding the alarm.
Oh, God.
More thoughts about Amagi Brilliant Park?
Not really. I mean, it just touched on everything quite right. It was fun.
I didn't think the show was going to be anything, and it surprised me. And it kept surprising me, and it kept delighting me.
Yeah,
this is a good show. When we last talked about a show finishing, it was Yuki Yuna wa Yushidaru. And I said, this is a good show, but I don't think it's going to crack my top, be my best one. I'm going to have to say, ever since then, even since I've gone back and watched it sometimes, and I thought I never would because very heavy, I started to realize I like this show more and more than I thought. So I'm amending what I said before, and I think Yuki Yuna might well be a contender for my best one of fall. But Amagi Brilliant Park is really good as well. Amagi Brilliant Park is good competition here, and honestly, some combination of Yuki Yuna and Amagi Brilliant Park are going to be in the top three.
Well,
who the hell is going to be alongside them, and what other shows could possibly dethrone, I think?
I think we know our top four at this point.
Amagi Brilliant, some combination of Amagi Brilliant Park, Yuki Yuna,
Gogori Kakuri-sen,
and Twin Tail. Really, you think Gogori Kakuri-sen is going to...
Sorry, top five.
What's the fifth one? Garo?
No.
Because I like Garo, but I don't think it's going to crack that.
No. Princess...
Tribe Cool Crew?
No.
Vanitas is not going to make it there.
No.
Akatsuki no Yona?
There you go.
I don't know. I don't know about Akatsuki no Yona.
The fifth of the top five I could see.
Maybe. But now we're talking about nine shows, so it's like, you know, I bet you I know what the top seven are going to be. Bet you I know what the top nine shows are going to be.
Top ten.
Yep. Folks, are we good?
We're good.
Folks, thank you for listening. Carlos and Dave, AnimeReef.com is your destination for some of the dumbest banter about anime you could probably listen to about for. And on that very site, you can also take a look at our podcast, Two Fat Guys Talk. It is just as useless as the Anime Rave.